Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Lemuedes Marín. Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente y te siga usando.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly and continue to use you greatly in the work of God at this end time. And also to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in different countries, and also here in Calle, Puerto Rico. May God bless you greatly and may He bless us by His word. Today, Sunday, July 27th of this year, 2025, our subject is the law of repetition. Message preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Friday, December 24th, 2010, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. Let us search in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, verses 14 to 15, where it tells us the following. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that man should fear before Him. That which had been is now, and that which is to be had already been. And God requireth that which is past. There on the left, He draws a cornerstone and the ages. On the left margin. And in chapter 1 of this same book of Ecclesiastes, tells us on verse 9, the thing that had been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It had been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. The law of repetition. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, the mystery of the kingdom of God, Dr. William Soto Santiago speaks to us here, which was preached on January 4th, 1985. He says, notice, it is necessary for those who belong to the kingdom of God to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. If it were understood by those who aren't of the kingdom of God, those who do not belong to the wheat represented in that parable, what would they do? What they would do is try to destroy the kingdom of God, to harm the program of God, the program God has in His kingdom. Because those who are not of the kingdom of God have no interest in seeing the kingdom of God moving forward. What good can the children of the devil do in the kingdom of God? Harm it, trying to destroy the kingdom of God. Because the devil can inspire and use his children. In the message, standing in the gap, notice, the Reverend William Branham tells us here, on page 20 of this message, we have a lot of impersonations. We have people that get up and try to act like Christians, and their lives don't compare. So there is something wrong. Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. See? That's how you know a Christian, by how he lives. Don't never jump any higher than you live. There on the right, he writes, the impersonations and the impersonators. So then just, but it's a devil making a scarecrow to keep the real, genuine believer away from the true thing of it. But God help us to separate and be able to discern between right and wrong. And the Word will always straighten that out. There's a writing here on the backside where he writes, the impersonations and the impersonators is the devil trying to scare the believer away from what is real. The impersonations and the impersonators is the devil trying to scare the believers away from what is real. Dr. William Soto continues to say here, but God can use the children of the kingdom of heaven when he makes known to them the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and shows them the time in which they live and the work that must be carried out in that time. In the message, Blasphemous Names, on page 22 of this message, he tells us, he says on page 22, I believe there is a bride that's predestinated. I believe God said he would have a church without spot or wrinkle. I believe in predestination, that the bride is predestinated. She's got to be there. I hope I'm with her. That, see, I am with her. Now, it's up to me to work out my own salvation with God until these things are approved of God and then sealed into the kingdom of God. Because this is individual. It is one with God. There is the Holy Spirit. There is the genuine work of God. It's sealed unto the day of redemption. That was her dream. I thought it was beautiful. Now, therefore, when she does that, when that church comes to this place, or the individual, the church is going to be there. Let me say it real good so you get it. The church is predestinated to be there. I want to be with it, but the only way I'll be with it is to be part of it. How do I become part of it? By being in it. How do I get in it? By a baptism, by one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. One body baptized into it. But you can't stick this little thing, say, I spoke with tongues, I got it. You go out here and angry and swear and carry on, see? That's putting peacock feathers in a jaybird, see? You can't do it. Your own life proves that it is not. But when these things are operating in you by God, then you're sealed. Then there's no put on about it. And he puts, it's real. Then there's no put on about it. You just yourself. And there he draws Star of David to the left. That's when the visions, perfect Holy Spirit, work of God, everything is made manifest. And there he writes, and in the church as a mystical body. He wrote that upward. Because why? You and Christ become one. I hope that's understood. You and Christ become one. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. I had something else I had wrote down here I want to think of. Bring us to the place of life. There he draws Star of David to the left. Then you become, have eternal life. That drawing there of the cornerstone and the ages, there an arrow from bring us to the place of life towards the cornerstone. Now in this message titled The Crown, here Dr. William Soto tells us also in this message, preached on April 9th of 1978 in Calle, Puerto Rico, he says, the Lord in his first coming blinded the eyes of the theologians of that time. The eyes of the scholars and wise men were blinded. And that is why the Lord said to his disciples, leave them alone. They are blind leaders, leading blind people. So leave them alone. And you keep pressing on in the message, the unveiling of God, on page 18. The Reverend William Branham tells us there. On page 18 it says, before, if any man walked in behind that veil, it was sudden death. Amen. Oh, we're going to get a lesson here in a minute. See if you can receive it. To walk behind them skins. Even one of the priest's son tried to do it one time and died. Don't go behind that veil. The man that walked behind, three dots. Why? There was no redemption yet in that. It was just potential. And anything potential is not the real thing yet, see? Just potentially. There he writes, anything potential is not the real thing yet. It was redemption. Sin was covered, not omitted. Remitted, rather. Not remitted. Remitted is divorced and put away. And so the blood of the sheep and goats could not do that. So Jehovah was hid behind a veil. Now, back behind this veil where he was hid, to enter into that, a man dropped dead to try to enter into it. But since Pentecost, since the crucifixion, when that veil was rent from the top to the bottom, for that generation, Jesus was that God, veil. And when he died at Calvary, God sent fire and lightning and ripped that veil from top to bottom, that the whole mercy seat was in plain view. But they were too blind to see it. As Moses said here, though, or Paul said, reading of Moses, when Moses is read, yet that veil still on their hearts. There he writes, God sent fire, lightning, etc., to rent the veil. Oh, brother, sister, that's what the Jews did when the veil was rent and brought God into plain view, hanging on the cross. He was in plain view, but they couldn't see it. Could it be possible that the Gentiles has did the same thing? There he writes, in the second coming, the Gentiles do the same thing the Jews did in the first coming. Oh God, when they've had the church ages of the Son of God, but when now the veil of these denominations and things, this veil of tradition that we've got since Pentecost, when the church traditions has been rent, the thing that the people said, days of miracles is past, and these things, and God has took the veil off of it and brought it in plain view, and they're ready to crucify it again, just exactly like. Now, our brother William continues to say here, now you can see that the Lord wasn't saying anything bad about them. He was telling them, he was speaking of them, of the intellectual leaders of that time. He was telling them the truth. They were spiritually blind. Even though they had physical eyes and they saw the fulfillment of what God was doing, but they couldn't see it spiritually to believe it. The writing that I quoted once, I found it, where he wrote, if you don't believe, you won't understand. In other words, if a person doesn't believe, how can he understand? He must believe with all his soul, with all of his heart, in order to understand. Because to see is to understand. They didn't understand because God was doing it in such a simple way. And God said beforehand through Isaiah that it would be that way. That having eyes they would not see, and having ears they would not hear. In other words, they would not understand. So that's how it was said that it would be, and that's how it was fulfilled. That is in Isaiah in chapter 6. He tells us on this portion here that Dr. William Soto mentioned to us here. Chapter 6 of Isaiah, verse 9, says, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Now notice, here, the Reverend William Branham also tells us in the message, The Future Home, on page 25, The Future Home of the Heavenly Bridegroom and the Earthly Bride. He says, page 25 says, now that's what we were talking the other day. The evidence of the Holy Ghost, see? He writes on the left, the evidence of the Holy Spirit. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the Word. Not some system, but have a clear understanding. How do you know the Word is clear? Understand it? Watch it vindicate itself. Well, you say, and on the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Well, you say, I see this do it, and that. Oh, yes. Weeds live the same way, see? But it's got to be the entire Word. To be the bride, you have to be part of Him. And above he writes, to be the bride. He is the Word, see? And what a part of Him is it? The Word. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. The Word that's promised for this day, when he calls his bride, be a part of that. And Dr. William Soto continues to say here, and for the second dispensation, for the end of the second dispensation, which is out of the last three, the dispensation of grace, for the end of the second dispensation, it is said that Laodicea would be in the same condition, poor, blind, naked, and miserable, and wouldn't know it. So, being in the same condition, it would do the same things that were done back then. We find that when God makes symbols real, well, the symbols then happen, and the people say, well, and now, how are we going to do things from now on? That is the time then for a change. There is the time then when things change from one condition to another, from one position to another, from a symbolic position to a real position. In the message, Why Cry? On page 9, the Reverend William Branham tells us, Why Cry? Speak. He tells us, I think any man or woman, boy or girl, and I think in intellectual conception of what they think the Word is and so forth, never can have a full foundation stand until they have met that light that brings the Word to a reality. I am the light of the world, said Christ. There he writes, the light. And on the left he writes, the light, finding it, turns the Word into reality. To find the light in each age and in each dispensation in the messenger that God sends is to find the reality of what was promised for that time. The light, finding it, turns the Word into reality. He wrote that there. I think no church in its practice, no matter how intellectual or fundamental it might be, that church cannot thrive until the supernatural is made known among that people. And they see it. Something that they can talk to, that will talk back to them, that vindicates this written Word. And he writes on the left, the pillar of fire, and a cornerstone in the ages. Where would God's people at the end of time find what is real? what is true, what is tangible, where the Reverend William Branham saw the pillar of fire speaking to someone. There he was already announcing, indicating where the light was to bring to life, to bring to reality everything that was spoken for this end time in a great tent cathedral. Now, our brother William keeps on saying, we then find that all things that were indicated were symbols in the second dispensation, then become a reality at the end of the dispensation, and then the symbols become fulfilled. And upon being fulfilled, then, for example, we find that there are three very important things in the second dispensation that are symbolic and are established unto what? Unto the coming of the Lord, of which one of them is the institution of the Holy Communion, where the Apostle Paul shows us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and on, to 26, it says, notice, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. And there on the right, he writes, until the second coming of Christ. And notice, in the message possessing all things, there was a holy communion in that activity. And Brother Branham tells us there in a short part of the Holy Communion activity, he says, upon this basis and the confession of my sins and my faith in the Son of God, I take myself and the church before these articles that God left for us to do, to show forth his death until he comes. And Brother William writes at the bottom, until he comes. In other words, that was something symbolic, and that it was to be done until the fulfillment of his coming. Afterwards, with the fulfillment of his comings, that would be taken away. Now notice, he tells us, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, because in the coming of the Lord, they then become what? They become a reality. Then the symbols stop being symbols and become a reality. Then the symbols are cast aside because the reality has arrived. That is why water baptisms, the Holy Communion, and foot washing have been left behind. All of that belongs to the dispensation of grace. We are in the dispensation of the kingdom. When the reality arrives, then, for example, the Holy Communion, foot washing, and water baptism, they are three symbolic things commanded by the Lord to be practiced in the second dispensation. But at the end, the symbols then come to an end, because they are established until the Lord comes. In a writing that he left us here in a notebook, the angel of Jesus will show the things that will come to pass through the things that have already been, because cycles, ages, and dispensations repeat themselves. and so do their events. The past events are a type and figure of the present events. The times are parallel. Now notice, in the book of quotations on page 148, on the book of quotations, paragraph 321 or 1321, this portion of the message, the choosing of a bride, he tells us on page 148, paragraph 1321 says, you have to do something to symbolize it. Like a man put some salt in a cruse and throwed it in the water and said, thus saith the Lord, let there be sweet water. And another one, Jesus, picked up water and poured it into a jug and made wine out of it. You have to have something to symbolize. That's what that was, that went up in the air and come down, that started that little whirlwind. Within 24 hours, it had shook the mountain till it cut a ridge around it, on Sunset Mountain. And on top he writes, to do something to symbolize it. That is in the message, what is the attraction on the mountain? When he threw a stone, we have already spoken of it, that of that event. Now notice, there is a place here as well, in the notes, where he writes, until the coming of the Lord, the Holy Communion, water baptism, and other symbolic rituals, as it was with the Paschal Lamb, the Sabbath, the sin offering of the goat, etc. That was during the dispensation of the law, and it was taken away with the presence of what it was symbolizing, which was the perfect Lamb who was Jesus. The coming of the Lord, the first coming of the Lord as the Lamb of God. Now, in His second coming, the symbols, water baptisms, feet washing, and the Holy Supper, are announced during the dispensation of grace until He comes. And He has already come. That's why it was taken away. As simple as that. Now, our brother William continues to say, we find that then He will later give us a baptism in the waters of the Word. Then, what else will He give us? He will give us a true communion, a true holy communion. So, we then find that this holy communion, which represents the body and His blood, He will then give us of His body and of His blood. And the question is, and how will He do it? He will give us of Himself. Well, is He going to give us a piece of meat? That's what they thought back then when He said, whoever does not eat My flesh and drink My blood. But that did not mean that. It meant His flesh is His body, and His body is His word, and His blood is His life. Therefore, we find that this is what truly represented what He said. In the seals, notice, in the book of the seals on page 264 of this book of the seals, He tells us there. Now watch where we are at tonight. That other church age now, see? We're coming down to the third church age now. See, just exactly on the third church age is just exactly like the third horse, see? Now the first church age, what was it? The Nicolaitans had a doctrine, see, just the first one, alright. And then, the first thing we know, this Nicolaitan doctrine, it becomes sanctioned and was right, went into action, and they crowned this fellow. Then this spirit, Antichrist, become incarnate in a man. And we find out later on, he becomes an incarnate devil too. The demon goes away and the devil comes in. And just as that church is, that kind, the Antichrist church progresses, so has the bride come along with different things. Through justification, one. There he starts with number one, justification. Number two, sanctification. Number three, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and moving right on. See, just like that. Only they taken their revival first, and the church is taking it the last. which is what he said on page 253 of the Book of the Seals, where he says, there on that page, the bride hasn't had a revival yet. See, there's been no revival there. No manifestation of God to steer the bride yet. See, we're looking for it now. He'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. See, yeah, he'll send it. He promised it. See, now he continues to say, the first 3 years, first three stages of them that went through the dark age. Then the third three stages comes the church out from justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost in incarnate God made manifest among us. He circles incarnate God and he draws a cornerstone to the left and the ages. Here he comes in as the Antichrist, as the false prophet, then the beast, then in dark age. And the church comes out of that dark age. One, justification. Remember to number them. One, justification. Two, sanctification. Three, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Incarnate word, believer. And he goes down. Mm-hmm. You see that? He goes down, the church goes up. See, it's just as perfect as it can be. Oh, it's beautiful, I just love it. And we just love it also. And on the left he writes, the word incarnate. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And notice on page here on the notes, on 253, here he writes, the baptism of the Holy Spirit equals the word incarnate. The baptism of the Holy Spirit equals the word incarnate. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, and now, at the end of the second dispensation, he will give us of himself. He is the word. He will give us of himself. He will give us his word. And by eating his word, we will be eating his flesh, the flesh of the Son of Man. He will give us of his life, see? Then we receive eternal life. On this book, Adoption, which is this color, on page, here is page 14, paragraph 63. Notice what he tells us here. Here, beginning from where he says, God knowed, that is on page 14. God knows his trust in Job. God knows how much he can trust you. He knows how much he can trust me. But what we are speaking of now is placing this child. Now, when the Bible, when the battle is all over, when everything is finished, then what is the next thing we do? What is the thing we do after the battle's over? Do you know what we do? We meet Melchizedek. And there he draws Star of David to the right and a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Let's turn to Matthew 16:16, right quick. See if that's right or not. Matthew 16, chapter and 16 verse, I'm pretty sure that's right. Matthew 16:16. No, that's wrong. Couldn't be that close. 26. And there he continues speaking about all those scriptures. I didn't mean to say that. Now we got her. Here we are. Here he found it. At the Last Supper. And he begins to read there. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. S-I-N-S, sins, Christian who does things wrong. Alright, but listen, 29th verse. I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in your Father's kingdom. At the top, in the paragraph where it says, and as they were eating, there he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone, and he writes, in the last Passover, and he writes, supper, in the upper room. A cornerstone, the arrow towards the cornerstone, and he writes, in the last Passover, on top he writes, supper, in the upper room. What? The same thing Melchizedek did after Abraham had got his position. And he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone, set his men in order, and won the battle, and had come home, and Melchizedek come out with bread and wine. After the battle's over, then we'll eat the wedding supper with the Lord Jesus in the new world. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, at the end time of the second dispensation, there is the time where the Holy Communion, which is observed throughout the second dispensation, at the end of the second dispensation, it becomes a reality. It becomes something real, where God gives us that great supper, where we eat that great supper of the Lamb, and where He fulfills what He said, that He would take it anew. See, He would take it new. Where? In the kingdom. That is, in the dispensation of the kingdom. In the message, who is this Melchizedek? On page 19, look, the Reverend William Branham tells us there, notice, after the battle was over, Melchizedek served his victorious child communion. Think of that. Part of himself. Now we want, now, in the teaching under the tent, what is God doing? Giving of himself. Now we want to see here, in type here is, in view, the communion. After the battle, he gave of himself, because the communion is part of Christ. And after the struggle, and he writes, the ages, and after the struggle is over, after you've done, got yourself wiped out, then is when you partake of Christ. And he writes, theophany, become part of this being. You get it? There on the right, he draws a star of David and he writes upward. They become the Word. And on the left, upward, in three lines, he writes, the incarnation of the Word in the children of Abraham. Jacob wrestled all night and wouldn't turn him loose until he blessed him. That's right. Battle for life. And after the battle is over, and he writes of the seventh seal, then God gives you of himself. And he writes the theophany. That is his true communion. The little bread and wafer just represents it. And there he draws a cornerstone and inside a star of David, and the ages. You shouldn't take it lest you've wrestled it out and become part of God. And he writes, born again. Remember, at this time, the communion had never been instituted, not until before the death of Jesus Christ, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. But Melchizedek, after his child Abraham had won the victory, Melchizedek met him and gave him wine and bread, showing that after this earthly battle is over, we will meet him in the heavens and take the communion again. It will be the wedding supper. And on the right he draws a cornerstone and he writes, Revelation 4:1, come up hither. To where? In the age of the cornerstone. I will not drink no more of the wine nor eat the fruit until I eat it and drink it with you anew in my Father's kingdom. And he writes with Moses and Elijah, dispensation of the kingdom. And on the left side, upward, he writes, the supper at the end of the battle, in the dispensation of the kingdom. And he also writes there, the spiritual communion. The supper at the end of the battle, in the dispensation of the kingdom. The spiritual communion. Dr. William Soto continues to say here, notice that in the age of the kingdom, the age of the cornerstone, is where he promises to take it anew. Something new, a new supper. Therefore, a new supper is promised, which is the great supper of the Lamb, where he gives us of himself. and whereby giving us of Himself, and by us eating of Him and drinking His blood. And then what do we become? The Word made flesh. In the Book of Quotations, page 143, paragraph 1193, notice, he tells us, yes, become a part of the Word, a part of the Word of today. Can't be part of the Word of Moses' day. That part is done, made up. That was the feet. We're at the head now. This is Christ. Not the arms time back in Luther, no. This is the head time. Christ, the headstone, comes to the body. And we see the great reformation of Luther in that age, and of Wesley, and the Pentecostal. Now we're looking for the headstone of the city. And he draws a little cornerstone on the left at the bottom. And at top, he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and he writes, the headstone comes to the body. On 135, also there, from paragraph, notice, paragraph 1199, there he tells us, in that day, the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the cornerstone. The marriage, and there an arrow towards the cornerstone. The marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this, when the Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. The church, there's an excerpt that says that the seventh seal will come before you. Unite the two together. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word. And the two unites together. And to do that, it will take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man. Not a clergyman. Did you see what I mean? See, it's Son of Man. Jesus Christ will come down in human flesh among us. And will make His Word so real that He'll unite the church and Him as one. That is why He puts Moses and Elijah in the paragraph where He says that He brings a separation, but also the gathering. 1260 on page 141. Where he writes there, in the separation he will send his angels, Moses and Elijah, the gathering and harvest. See? Because he will be gathering together, gathering them. See? It's the Son. I'm turning back to 1199. See? It's Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will come down in human flesh among us. And he draws a Star of David there on the left. And will make His Word so real that He'll unite the church and Him as one, the bride, and then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united. See, we go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. Feel your flesh, self, of all the flesh of mighty man. Because the marriage of the Lamb has come, but the rapture is going to the wedding supper. When the Word here unites with the person and they two become one. And then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again. Another manifestation of the Son of Man would come on page or paragraph 183 where He shows us that they have mocked. He says, He has come in mercy this time. He says, the next time He reveals Himself, He will be in judgment on the world and the nations that's for God, and sin their way of grace, their day of grace rather away. Page 22, paragraph 183. There He shows us the Son of Man coming from His glory, and that He was revealing Himself in mercy, but that the next time would be in judgment. Now He goes on to say, and then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again. Not the church theologians, the Son of Man. The Word and the church becomes one. And there He draws a cornerstone and the ages. the arrow towards the cornerstone, and above the cornerstone, a Star of David. And also, on the left at the top, in the margin, he writes, it manifests the Son of Man in flesh again. And above, there in the margin, on the where it says, quotations from the message of the prophet, below that he writes, to fulfill every word of and in the age of the Son of Man. And he draws a cornerstone and an arrow towards the cornerstone. In other words, to fulfill every word in the age of the cornerstone, God had to manifest himself as one of the titles, Son of Man, which is the title of a prophet. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here, and by being that way, then there is where the eternal, which is him, God, unites with the temporary, because this is temporary. It unites with what? With our body. It unites with the temporary. And by uniting with us, with the temporary part, then the temporary part must be changed. It must be made into something eternal. Then a transformation must come, because we have eaten and drunk of something eternal. And then that, automatically, that will produce what? It will produce an eternal body, which will be the body we will have for all eternity. Which in the message, the masterpiece, the Reverend William Branham tells us on page 20, notice, now for nearly 2,000 years, and he writes, for 2,000 years, God has been again making him a masterpiece, because he struck Adam to get a piece off of him, part of him, a rib to make a wife for him. And now, that perfect masterpiece that he struck at Calvary, he got a piece off of him. It's just the New Testament, that's all. He fulfilled the Old Testament. Now, it's the New Testament, another piece to be fulfilled. See, the new and old is husband and wife. See? And he taken the new to the old to foreshow the new. Christ come, the masterpiece, to fulfill that. Now, his bride will fulfill everything that's in the New Testament. Another masterpiece is in making. There on the left, he writes, Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. The bride will fulfill the New Testament. As it taken him 4,000 years to make this masterpiece, and above master, he draw a small cornerstone. And on the right, he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and above he writes 4,000. Now, he's been, for nearly 2,000 years, making another masterpiece. And he draws another little cornerstone. A bride for Christ, another masterpiece. And he draws another little cornerstone. In so doing it, he does it by his never-changing method. The same way he made the masterpiece, his word. See, by the spoken word, by the spoken word of the Archangel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary, that's how the body of Jesus was created. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes 2,000. And in the cornerstone, he colored it in red. That's the way he makes his masterpieces. Because he can only be a perfect masterpiece when it's perfect word. See? Now, notice what he writes here on the back. For a masterpiece from Adam to Jesus, 4,000 years. From Jesus to today, 2,000 years. To have a masterpiece, a perfect church, and a perfect message and messenger with a perfect people being adopted. I'm going to read it again. For a masterpiece, from Adam to Jesus, 4,000 years. From Jesus to today, 2,000 years. To have a masterpiece, a perfect church, and a perfect message and messenger with a perfect people being adopted. Because we are eating We are supping. We are eating of His Word. Today's supper. He goes on to say, what causes that to happen is eating His flesh and drinking His blood. In plain words, being in that great supper of the Lamb where He gives us of Himself. And then, we become what? We become God made flesh again. Now, this is not in the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're gonna be during the time of the great tribulation. This is now. What causes that to happen is eating His flesh and drinking His blood, in plain words. Being in that great supper of the Lamb, where He gives us of Himself. And then, we become what? We become God made flesh again. Each of God's elect becomes God made flesh. Those are mighty words. Great words. Each of God's elect becomes God made flesh. God in the form of man. We go back to being what? Gods on earth. Didn't I say, ye are gods? See? Now notice in this message, a true sign that's overlooked on page 31 tells us, on that page, he says, when atomic bombs and people are scared and the Pentagon, they don't know what to do. And there he writes atomic bombs. And mystic signs in the skies of flying saucers. And he writes flying saucers. And everything that God predicted. It's time for that Elijah. He's somewhere right on the scene. And on the left he writes Elijah, Moses and Jesus, the third pool. And he draws a cornerstone on the right and the ages. Let the people, let that little flock, that little remnant that God will give him, let that little remnant to go to calling out to God. There is the church bride speaking the word, calling out to God, and watch what happens. There will be a national showdown. There will be a power that they never seen before. Trouble of it is, this time, it's going to be too late for them then. The doors will be closed. And he writes on the left, a national showdown. That is why at this time, we are eating of His flesh, drinking of His blood. It is today's supper. It is the revelation of the seven thunders, thus bringing us the rapturing faith. That's what we are receiving today in present day form, in the reality of what the symbols during the dispensation of grace were. The law of repetition. And thus, we are being filled with your Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. We can sing that song. I don't know if the young lady, Elenai Mariel, is here. She can come up and sing it. And then we'll stand. And in that way, we prepare ourselves to receive the message we have for today, which we ask the Lord that we may understand, comprehend all that word as it was brought. And we can see, and in that way we may see the fulfillment of that word being materialized, being fulfilled in our midst at this time. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you. In the message, a true sign that's overlooked, notice he tells us, we don't come here to get a blessing from God so much as we come here. Every day we breathe and breath, we get a blessing from God. What we come here to do is a correction, to cut off, to circumcise our hearts, and to get before God, and to believe God with all of our hearts. For God to continue molding us, that is why we come here for, to obey His Word. The house is a place of correction. The church.
Así te decimos, Señor, que nos ayudes a llegar a nuestro hogar, porque desde ahí que nosotros venimos, y aquí en la tierra nos encontramos, estamos seguros de un día regresar. Tiempo adoptará fuente de luz, nuestro José, palabra viva que nos transformará. Tiempo de paz, el reino
It is the word that day by day we are receiving for our transformation. For God to carry out by His word being spoken that masterpiece, that perfect work in you and in me. The law of repetition. Let us leave with us immediately our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.